Good morning. Welcome to worship. Today is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. It's wonderful to be here together to worship. It's especially wonderful. Who would have thought during the dog days of summer we would have cool weather with cloudy skies? I'm very thankful for that. I hope you are as well. It's a great reminder of God's providing abundance for us. I would direct your attention to the announcements at the end of your bulletin. Please feel free to look at those at your convenience. Thank you to everyone who came today. Thank you to everyone also who brought donations for our school supply drive and for Food Pantry Sunday. At this time, let us begin our worship together, confessing our sin and receiving God's forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting, whose faithfulness endures from generation to generation. Trusting in the mercy of God, let us confess our sin. Reconciling God, we confess that we do not trust your abundance and we deny your presence in our lives. We place our hope in ourselves and rely on our own efforts. We fail to believe that you provide enough for all. We abuse your good creation for our own benefit. We fear difference and do not welcome others as you have welcomed us. We sin in thought, word, and deed. By your grace, forgive us. Through your love, renew us, and in your spirit, lead us so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Amen. Beloved of God, by the radical abundance of divine mercy, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus, through whom we have obtained grace upon grace. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live now in hope, for hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of all peoples, your arms reach out to embrace all those who call upon you. Teach us as disciples of your Son to love the world with compassion and constancy, that your name may be known throughout the earth through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. A reading from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. The word of the Lord. Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, listen and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. Then the disciples approached and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said? He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone, they are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, explain this parable to us. Then he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she keeps shouting after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. He answered, it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of the Lord. Call on the attention of all God's children out there to think with me about what we've just read, these stories about people who may not fit in, who may be a little different, who may not be popular or accepted. The good news in these stories for us as God's people is that no matter what, God claims you, God loves you, God chooses you. Never forget that truth. And also, especially at this time that some of us are preparing to go back to school, we're reminded that we're going to meet all sorts of people, whether it's on Zoom or in person. Those are all people whom God loves as well. And God calls us to share God's love with those people, even those other people may not be kind to. So I challenge you not only to remember how much God loves you, but to share that love and love others as God has loved you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for loving us. Even when we feel different, when we feel we don't fit in, you claim us, you choose us, you love us always. Help us to share that with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The questions raised in our gospel lesson today are all about insiders versus outsiders. Who is inside God's ways, God's mercy, and God's grace? And who is outside? Just before our lesson today, the Pharisees and scribes were having a debate with Jesus about this very subject, who is in and who is out. For those Pharisees and scribes, the issue that prompted this discussion was that they saw Jesus' disciples eating without ritually washing their hands. As insignificant as that may sound to us, since we don't have this type of ritual washing, that washing was supposed to be an outward sign of an inward commitment to observing God's laws. Perhaps, the Pharisees and scribes thought, if the disciples were neglecting this outward sign, what other important aspects of the law might they be ignoring in their lives? Jesus enters this debate in our gospel passage today, arguing against the Pharisees and scribes that it is not by eating food rendered ritually impure that one becomes defiled. Rather, Jesus reminds them of what truly matters. And what truly matters is the purity of one's heart. This outward versus inward purity was hardly original to Jesus. The prophets were often concerned with this. You can see that in our passage from Isaiah this morning. You can also see it if you think about that famous passage of Joel 2:13, where the prophet urges the people of God, rend your hearts, not your clothing. What's inside, not what is outside. Return to the Lord your God. The point there is much the same, that putting on sackcloth and ashes outwardly means nothing if one's heart remains far from God. The Pharisees and scribes at that time, it seems, may have lost sight of this aspect of God's covenant with them. So the irony is, these insiders, these very keepers and interpreters of God's law, get angry with Jesus for pointing out where they may have fallen short. Meanwhile, the woman with whom Jesus interacted was a definite outsider in the eyes of Jesus' disciples. Indeed, in the eyes of most first century Jewish people. She was a descendant of the ancient enemies of the people of Israel. You may remember in the Old Testament, when the Israelites entered the Promised Land, they were dismayed to learn there were already people living in that promised land, the Canaanites. I won't belabor the point here, but suffice it to say there was great animosity often between the ancient Israelites and the ancient Canaanites. Indeed, it's odd that Jesus would have gone to this region where this woman lived. It took him far out of his way and put him in his own position of becoming an outsider. The region where this happened, the region of Tyre and Sidon, is in modern-day Lebanon. And then, as now, It was not a common place for Jewish rabbis to visit. Jesus becomes an outsider in this woman's land. Yet evidently, word about his ministry has spread even among the Gentiles. His fame has preceded him, and this woman, unlike the religious and pure Pharisees and scribes in the preceding scene, bows to Jesus, hails him as Lord and Son of David, and begs him to bestow mercy and healing upon her sick daughter. The posture this woman takes here and the words she uses here put the devotion of the Pharisees and scribes to shame. It was just recently, in fact, in the gospel lesson we looked at last week, that Jesus' own disciples had worshiped him in these same explicit terms. Somehow this Canaanite woman in a faraway land has figured out who Jesus is and that he is worthy of worship and that he alone can heal her daughter. And by her confession and acknowledgement of Jesus, she becomes part of a very small group of people up to this point in the gospel who know that Jesus is worthy of worship and devotion. Yet even the disciples, the insiders, can't recognize this woman's faith in action. They tell Jesus to send her away, to dismiss her because she is shrieking at them. And in his initial response, Jesus suggests the disciples may have a point. It might not be proper for a Jewish man in a foreign land to interact with this Gentile woman. He reminds his disciples and us, and maybe even himself, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember, Jesus is on a very specific mission at this point in the gospel. It was for this that he came. It was for this that he sent out his apostles in chapter 10 to reach out to God's chosen people who had lost their way and found themselves without a leader. And read in the context of the preceding story about Jesus' clash with the Pharisees and scribes, we can hardly blame him for narrowing his mission focus. How much more urgent must his mission have seemed in light of finding that the Pharisees leading the people were themselves blind and inept? He knew his own people were in desperate need of guidance and reconciliation. Yet the woman continued to petition Jesus to help her daughter. Jesus, once again intent on helping the lost sheep, the hungry children of his own nation and culture, tells the woman in harsh terms that the good things he has, the good things that he has come to bring, are intended for others at this time. And rather than recoiling at his words, rather than challenging Jesus' premise, rather than becoming offended at being called a dog, the woman wins the day saying, yeah, I'm a dog, but even the dogs get the crumbs that the kids drop. What has happened here is that Jesus and the woman, despite her status as an outsider, despite their gender difference, despite their cultural differences, despite the historical hatred between their peoples, this woman has entered into a sort of rabbinical argument with Jesus. And something to keep in mind about rabbinical arguments like this is, it's not so important who is right and who is wrong. It's the process, it's the argument itself. It is wrestling with the truths of God that matter. Through this discussion, Jesus and the woman reveal truth, and that truth is this. There is enough of God's love and mercy and grace for all people to partake and have their fill. Having a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old myself, as well as an 11-year-old dog at home, I can personally attest that the dogs do indeed get the crumbs. from the table. In fact, the other night our dog received substantially more than a crumb. He inadvertently got a whole piece of chicken that was intended for one of the kids. His patience and persistence paid off. I share that story with you somewhat humorously, but also as an illustration. Our kids did not go hungry that night. We had plenty for them to eat, plenty for the dog to eat, even with that lost piece of chicken. And that's precisely the point this woman is making in speaking with Jesus. At our house the other night, it was not a zero-sum game. The choice was not, do the kids eat tonight or does the dog eat tonight? Truth be told, we have more than enough to eat most every day, and that is a profound blessing, one for which I know we should be more grateful than we are sometimes. Gratitude for abundance and generosity with abundance are two things I'm working hard on these days. I hope you are as well. But the Canaanite woman knew this to be true as well. It was not, as Jesus' words seem to suggest, a choice between the lost sheep of Israel getting fed or the dogs of Canaan getting fed. In addressing Jesus as Lord and Son of David, the woman showed that she knew the true grace, the true riches, the true abundance of the God of Israel. And she knew that the crumbs of the table of this Lord and Master would be more than enough for her and her daughter and then some. The choice didn't have to be insider or outsider, Jew or Gentile, child or dog. God's love, God's grace, God's healing, God's mercy, God's reconciliation is big enough and substantial enough for everyone. This Canaanite woman and Jesus in this encounter come together to reveal the truth of God's abundance to and for us all. That's the main challenge for us this week, among many challenges. Persistence in prayer is a fine lesson to take from this story. Wrestling with God in the hard times may be one aspect of this story we can latch onto, but the real challenge for us as I see it is that we begin to think of God's love as deep and wide enough for anyone and everyone, especially those whom we may be likely to write off as mere dogs. As I said earlier, this passage is all about who's inside and who's outside. If Jesus had insisted on rigid rules of culture and society in that day and time, he would have just turned away from that woman in need, just as the Pharisees and scribes dismissed those who ate with defiled hands. Yet this woman knew the truth and staked her daughter's life and well-being on this truth that she knew to be for her. God's mercy is deep and wide and big enough for everyone. Indeed, this truth goes back to the covenant God made with Abraham. God blessed Abraham and his offspring, but God also promised to bless all the families of the earth through them. And that abundance of blessing and goodness for all is exactly the birthright this Canaanite woman laid claim to in asking Jesus for mercy for her child. And because she understood this and trusted in him and refused to take no for an answer, Jesus commended her, "Woman, great is your faith." This may sound familiar, this comment about faith, and it's no accident last time Jesus mentioned someone's faith, it was the faith of an insider, Simon Peter. And last week, what did Jesus say about his faith? We heard that last week in the story where Peter walked out of the boat toward Jesus on the sea. Jesus said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" An insider is one of little faith. An outsider is one of great faith. That seems counterintuitive. It seems like a contradiction. How is this possible? Where is this possible? Only in the kingdom of heaven. Only at the table of the true master who has enough for all and then some. We dine at that table together today. We share the body and blood of Christ in this communion meal. You are a beloved child of God. And what you receive today, you receive as a true child. Yet we know there are many in this world who do not know or experience God's love, God's abundance, God's mercy, or God's healing. And that is our other challenge to work on this week. Go this week to receive what you, to share what you receive here. May God's goodness fall from your life this week as you go, giving others a taste of God's goodness. You are indeed an insider, chosen as one of God's beloved children. And you are sent to outsiders, not to condemn them, not to judge them, not to fix them. You are sent to love them and to share God's life and light with them. In Christ, there is enough for you. There's more than enough for you. He has blessed you to be a blessing. He has shared with you that you will go and share with others. He has loved you that you might love others, and that through you others might see and know and trust in God. Amen.
Thank you.
We confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Lord, confident of your care and helped by the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Lord, you gather the church to be part of your mission as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. As Jesus acknowledged the great faith of a woman from outside his people, help your church discover and find blessing in the faith of people we might reject. Lord, in your mercy, you have blessed us with the bounty of the earth. Grant your grace to all your creatures, that the earth will flourish. Relieve waters choked by garbage, renew soils stripped of nutrients, and refresh the air all creatures need to live. Lord, in your mercy, you call the nations to be glad and sing for joy. Let your way be known among all nations of the world, now divided by competing interests, contending alliances, and consumed by enormous worry. Bless us and make your face shine upon all. Lord, in your mercy. You show unexpected mercy, kindness, and generosity. We pray for those who do not have enough, for outcasts in our own city, and for those who need your healing, especially those we name before you now. Lord, in your mercy. In you we live and move and have our being. Grant this congregation grace to find our life refreshed in you. Accompany us in the rhythms of late summer. Give us rest and renewal, and strengthen us for mission in your name. Lord, in your mercy. Your eternal promises are more than we could ever imagine. As you gather all the saints, join us also with them on the great day of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, in the certain hope that nothing can separate us from your love, we offer these prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of peace with others. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take and eat, this is the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. God of the welcome table, in this meal we have feasted on your goodness and have been united by your presence among us. Empower us to go forth sustained by these gifts so that we may share your neighborly love with all through Jesus Christ, the giver of abundant life. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Peace. Christ is with you.